I want to talk to you about the poison of a man's anger. The poison of a man's anger. Matthew chapter 12. Now, just holding your place there, let me just take you a little journey back through the book of Jonah. We've seen a lot of things. We're in chapter 4, and we have seen God's grace at work. What was God doing? Well, He used Jonah, even as rebellious as he was, He used Jonah, even when he was so far away from God, He used him to be a witness and to convert a boatload of pagan sailors. It's amazing. You think, I'm going to get away from God. Even when you're away from God, God can still use you. And God has grace on others, even though He may have to be hard on you. God kept Jonah alive in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. That's grace. And if you got up this morning and you're not in a hospital somewhere, you're not dead, it's because of God's grace. So Jonah was constantly experiencing God's grace. Grace was when God called Jonah to do an impossible task. God said to Jonah, I want you to go and warn Nineveh. And that was an impossible thing to preach to in a city of almost a million people. And God's grace is because God cared. God cared about those sailors in that ship. God cared about a rebellious, hard-headed preacher in the belly of a whale. God cared about a city full of unsaved people who are going to face the wrath and the judgment of God. We've also watched as Nineveh experienced the greatest miracle. Now, sometimes we think a great miracle would be walking on water. Sometimes we think a great miracle might be feeding 5,000 people. But that's not the greatest miracle in the Bible. The greatest miracle is the conversion of one soul. And Nineveh experienced not just one or two or five or 100. The entire city got turned around. It's the greatest revival in the entire Bible. I think the greatest revival in history. Nineveh experienced the greatest miracle, and that is they were forgiven. They were forgiven. We've also learned in this little book, we've seen that only humble repentance can unlock that great grace. God wants to show grace, but God didn't let Jonah out of the whale until he said, you're right, God, I'm wrong. Amen. And God didn't save Nineveh until Nineveh said, God is right. We're worthy of judgment. We've done wickedly, and we'll trust that God will do right. And when they humbled themselves, they repented, then God forgave them. So grace is unlocked when we humble ourselves. And only through such humility can we unlock the great grace of God. We've also seen that true repentance, when you turn around and you just trust God, not your good works, not your money, not your religion, you just trust God, it'll save you. This little book has got so much truth in it. But there's a warning to our generation. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 41. Verse 40, Jesus says and brings you up to speed on the context. He says in verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man, speaking of Himself, be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was saying that He was going to be dead for 3 days and three nights. Verse 41, He says, and you know, speaking of Jonah, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. Because they, the Ninevites, repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. See, the Ninevites are going to rise in judgment against us because they believed God, and our generation hasn't. Now, we're not going to be finished with today's in chapter 4. I actually have to split it in this last chapter into two parts just because we've got a lot of things going on today. But there are... Today I'm just going to talk about the poison of anger, and next week I'm going to talk about escaping the trap of anger. Now, if you've ever had a problem with anger, like within the last half hour, you've ever had a problem with anger, this is going to sort of pry open some things in your mind and in your heart. Hopefully, you'll be open to letting God crack you and expose anger for what it's doing to you, how it's poisoning you, and that God doesn't need it. God doesn't need it. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to hear your word. Listen to the words of an Old Testament prophet. He could have been the greatest prophet of all time. But his attitude, his anger, poisoned him, ruined his ministry. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't let us let anything defile, poison the life that you gave us, the second chance. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the love of God. I thank you for the grace of God. But we need the Word of God now to work like a sharp two-edged sword, cutting and healing. And I ask that you would help us to hear and believe. Let it save somebody's life, Lord. Let it save somebody's soul. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Go to Jonah now. We'll go back to Jonah. And if you're in Matthew, just go backwards a couple of pages. You'll hit some of the what are called the minor prophets, the small books. These are all prophets, and you just keep going through until you hit a book called Jonah. By way of background there, Jonah. This is an amazing little book, as I've already said. But it's amazing for all the wrong reasons as well. I want you to see chapter 4 and verse 1. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1. I hope you have your Bible this morning. It's no good being in church and not having a Bible. I'm not going to do all the thinking for you. You need to read it and see it with your own eyes. Amen. Jonah chapter 4 verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was, what are the next two words? Very angry. This book is an amazing book because it tells you Jonah is an angry preacher. In these 11 verses, it's repeated four times that Jonah was angry. And this anger poisons his testimony. It hurts his reputation. When you think of Jonah, you think of somebody, we call him the bad attitude Baptist. Because he just didn't like doing what God wanted him to do. Ultimately, it ruins his ability to even do anything more for God because it blinds him to the grace and the kindness of God. If you get up in the morning and you don't see God's grace, you're doomed. If you don't see God being good to you, if you don't look at the rain or the sun and go, praise God, you're doomed. Just like Jonah, you are in a trap. And I'll talk about more about this next week. Because, folks, anger will blind you unless you learn how to deal with it. Now, it's in every one of us. There's not a person in this room who doesn't deal with anger, if not every week, then every day. It's in us, all right? Now, Jonah starts off, as you read there in verse 1, it doesn't just say he's upset. You know, I and Nito are getting a little tiff here, and she'll say, you're angry. I know I'm not angry, I'm frustrated. It's a redefinition of words. Now, sometimes you are just frustrated, but sometimes you're angry and you don't want to admit it. Well, Jonah is not frustrated. He's not a little upset. He's not tiffed. He's furious. Verse 1 says, it displeased Jonah. What's the next word? It means he's shaking. I don't know about you, but my mom used that phrase. I never understood it till I became a parent. My mom would look at me and she said, I'm so angry I can't see straight. I know what she meant. Jonah is furious, man. You see, he's finished his preaching. He's just walked throughout the city of Nineveh, and Nineveh was a huge city. You know, you can walk from one side of downtown Cork to the other side of downtown Cork in 15 minutes. But Nineveh is so crammed and so compact and so the narrow streets and going through that city would take 3 days to walk through that city. He's walked through. He's preached a harsh message of warning and coming wrath. He just said 8 things. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his sermon. He just repeated the same message over and over and over throughout that entire city. And now he's finished.
And as he's leaving the city, he is furious. He's storming out of the city. Be like me, just telling you, just both guns blaring, just giving you all I feel like, and then storming out of the room. That's how Jonah felt. Jonah's just walking out of that city, angry. And he should have been pleased. Because if you remember, as he preached, people began to believe him. People took it serious. Now, they had to. This guy looked like hell. His skin was burned. He stank of whale belly. He has a story that they've all heard about his rebellion and the storm and the whale. And they hear his message. They take him serious, and people begin to fall on their face, and they begin to cry out to God to have mercy on them. And Jonah just keeps on going, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Oh, I can't wait. And as he walked through people, it got all the way up to the king. Go back one chapter, chapter 3, verse 4. As Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I mean, he's crying out with the loudest, the top of his lungs, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth. They took off their fancy clothes, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jonah should have been pleased. I mean, that's the most successful church service you could ever have. Nothing grieves the pastor more than after just preaching his heart out and then shaking everybody's hand as they leave and realizing not one of these sinners believed anything I said. Not one of these people are willing to do what God says. That would grieve a pastor. But wouldn't it be amazing to not be able to leave church today because there's so many people just sitting and just grieving and saying, the Bible's right and I'm wrong. I've been doing wrong. I've been playing with fire. I've been away from God. Oh, God, have mercy on me. I don't deserve any of your grace. Oh, God, I just claimed your mercy. We just didn't leave. Wouldn't that be a great church? You know, Jesus said there's joy in heaven over just one sinner repenting. I bet there's a lot of joy when a million of them repented. Yet Jonah's displeased. He's upset that they are getting saved. Think about it. What's got him so upset? Well, I don't know about you, but we're all children at heart. You know what that means? We don't like being forced to do what we ought to do. And Jonah's been forced, hasn't he? Jonah's been boxed in and made to go and warn Nineveh. You ever feel like God is making you do something you don't want to do? Yeah, it's called the will of God. Say, why would God ask me to do what I don't want to do? Because he's God. My parents did it to me all the time. Amen? You say, well, I'm a grown man. You're an immature mess. And sometimes you don't know what you ought to do, and God just sometimes just puts pressure on you, doesn't he? Amen. But we don't like it. So Jonah's upset because he's been forced to do what he doesn't want to do, doesn't like to do. He's had to go to his nation's enemies, the Ninevites. He had to make them an offer of forgiveness so they wouldn't be judged. You know, he's been made to do the right thing. And that's not a bad thing. Amen. You say, well, my parents wouldn't let me stay in bed today. They made me come to church. That's not so bad. Amen? It's not so bad. He's been made to do the right thing. What displeased Jonah? These ungodly, pagan, hateful people, and even their wicked king, actually repented. They actually believed. And they were accepting the grace that God had offered them. And they were receiving the gift of mercy. And he didn't like it. It made Jonah very angry. The people actually, as he goes through that crowd, he's secretly hoping, I hope nobody takes this seriously. Nobody believes this. And yet they do. You know, you and I probably believe we would never have a problem with God asking us to go and preach to people and get them saved. I'd never have a problem with that. That is until it's your enemy he's asking you to go and love and care for and be gentle with and offer forgiveness to. You see, it's easy to love those who love you, right? What thank have you, Jesus said. But if you go and you show kindness to somebody who has never shown you kindness back and probably never will, you'll find it real hard, won't you? Matter of fact, you'll just get angry. But that wasn't the real reason for Jonah's anger. You ready for the real reason? He's angry at God. Look at verse 2. And he prayed. Oh, he's pious. Somebody says, when I'm angry, I don't pray, I don't read my Bible. You know, some of the most backslidden people can go through the motions. Can still pray. You remember the publican? How many remember the publican? And the Pharisee. There, the Pharisee, the wicked publican there, beating him on his chest, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He's praying. He's getting right with God. What's the Pharisee doing? He's praying too, isn't he? God, it's me again, your favorite. I'm not like other men. I'm telling you, I'm the creme de la creme. You know, God, I'll tell you what, I'm above everybody, especially people like that publican. People have such an amazing ability to talk to God in such sin. You think, well, when I'm away from God, you know, you may go through that stage, but the most dangerous stage you can be in is when you do go through the motions and yet you harbor some wicked attitude towards somebody else. Amen. He's angry at God. So look at him. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. And I knew that thou art a merciful God. You're slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. He's angry at God. God has upset Jonah. I mean, somebody in this room may upset me, you know. Somebody may take my parking space. Somebody may drink my tea. Somebody may, you know, somebody. But, you know, when you're upset at God, that's dangerous. God has upset. As a matter of fact, you know, have you noticed today a lot of people are upset at God? Just mention God. It's like, what did he ever do to you? You see, God upset Jonah because God has forgiven his enemy. Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and Assyria is in the area where Syria and northern Lebanon is right now, and they had a great revival. Greatest one in history, I believe. This revival, this time when the people were humbled and they pulled back from their violence and they pulled back from their wicked ways, lasted for 150 years. That's pretty amazing. But the problem was, Jonah didn't like it. Jonah didn't want it. He didn't want ungodly people spared from judgment. He believes in justice when it's on somebody else. See, I don't like justice when it's on me. You know, the guard will pull me over. I go, oh, have mercy. Catch that guy. Are we funny? That guy was going fast too. We're really funny, aren't we? We don't like it when somebody gets mercy and we don't. So Jonah gives out to God. I mean, he is upset. He says, this is just what I knew would happen. I knew this would happen, God. I knew it would. 50 days ago, almost 2 months ago when you asked me to do this, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I tried to get off to the furthest places on the earth. I want to go to Tarshish down in Spain because I know you. Now that's an amazing thing. How many of you know God is the gracious God? How many of you know the God that is kind? How do you know the God who is long-suffering and repents of the judgment that He has to... If you're saved, you know Him that way, don't you? But here's the great truth. Jonah knew Him the same way. He just didn't want it extended to somebody he didn't think deserved it. I know you, God. I know what you're like.
Yeah.
And I knew Nineveh wouldn't be destroyed. I didn't want to go. I want them to burn. Now, you and I laugh. And you and I sort of lightly understand this. But you haven't been hurt like Jonah had. You, if there's anybody, let's just take some of us and let's put us into a war zone and watch your children and your wives and your daughters raped and massacred and tortured and stolen in the night and taken and made conscripted into armies and then come and say, oh, it'd be easy for me to love my enemy. Jonah has watched that. Jonah wants his enemies to be burned. He wants them to be destroyed by God. He wants the justice of God. And you and I would too. So who do you get angry at? He says, I knew you wouldn't destroy Nineveh. I knew you'd let ISIS off the hook. That's it. You see, we think God has to just sort of go, oh, ISIS, oh, terrorists, we just love you. No, He doesn't. He's going to judge them. He is going to judge the wickedness of men. And by the way, it's not just their wickedness, it's our wickedness too. So when we look at the terrorism and we look at the ungodly and the wicked acts of whether they're bankers or politicians or terrorists, God will judge. Amen. But God doesn't have to and doesn't want to if they will repent. But oh, there's something inside of us that says, I don't want them to repent. I want to see them fry. You say, that's so evil. That's us! Don't you try and hide it. Jonah said, I don't like that about you, God. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, I write this down. I thought about it. Grace had interfered with Jonah's ministry. Jonah liked being an angry preacher. He liked upsetting people. He liked making it so that he was right and everybody else was wrong. That's what he liked. Now grace had proved him wrong. Grace had stepped in and made them equal with him. Remember, Jonah's a Jew. He's part of the people of God. And here was a pagan, wicked enemy now equal with him. Did not the Jews have that attitude toward the sinners and toward the Gentiles in Jesus' day? Oh, they did not like the Gentiles around them. They called them dogs. And to them, why would you show any love towards those dogs? Because that's what God is. God of love. God of mercy. God of grace. He'd like to save before He has to judge. That's a good God. Grace had interfered with His ministry. So Jonah said, I don't want to follow you anymore. Don't want to follow you. I knew what you're like. I know you. I want to follow a kind of God that destroys my enemies, that hates who I hate. Isn't that what they said to Jesus? They said, why are you hanging around with those publicans? Why are you hanging around with those sinners? Why aren't you going after the Romans? Why aren't you bringing us freedom? Why aren't you making us a nation again? Why aren't you destroying our enemies? And Jesus said, because I love them. Because I came to die for them. I make them free by me taking their place. See, this is the age-old problem of we want a God who does what we want. Look where it got Jonah, in the belly of a whale. See, God knows what He's doing, and we better do what He wants. So Jonah wants to quit. Look at verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech Thee, my life. Take my life from me. Go ahead and kill me now, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, he's kind of lying. What he's saying is, it's better for me to die than to do what you want me to do. It's better for me to die than to be forced to change. I may do your will, but I don't have to like it. He hated the Ninevites. I mean, he hated them. He was upset at God. And now he hates his own life. Would you say he's thoroughly poisoned? Would you say he's messed up in the heart? Would you agree? Wanted to just die. God, I'm asking you just to kill me. I can't stand to live knowing that my enemies will be allowed to live and will not be condemned for all the wrongs they've done. I remember what they've done. How can you forget, God? How can you forget? So, it'd just be really better for me to die than to live any longer. I want you to understand, Jonah's in a particularly hard place. Jonah can't go home now. He's responsible for his enemies being spared. And he can't explain it to Mama. I just went over to our enemy and got, they're right with God now, and God's not going to destroy them. And I better run. He can't go. As a matter of fact, do you know where Jonah's buried? In Nineveh. He never went home. He couldn't go home. Jonah, I mean, he just says, I can't go forward. I can't go back. God, you've ruined my life. He has not. You know, when Jesus speaks of the greatest miracle of all time, the resurrection, he refers to Jonah. I mean, there's some great prophets in the Bible. You got Moses, you got Elijah, you got Isaiah, you got Jeremiah. But the greatest one that could be picked on, that could point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he points to Jonah. Jonah doesn't realize just how good God was being to him. So, Jonah, God's got a question for him. Now, when God asks a question, you better think long and hard about the answer. God ever, listen, you're reading the Bible, there are questions in the Bible, you better think long and hard about that answer, because these are the questions to answer. Don't you worry about what are you going to eat tomorrow? Where are you going to go to work? Who are you going to marry? You better ask yourself the questions that God asks you. Find out the answer. God doesn't, and by the way, God doesn't ask questions because he needs to find out the answer. By the way, Craig, what's the value of pi again? 3.14159267, Lord. Okay. God already knows the answer. He's asking because we need to know the answer. Hey, he said, Adam, where are you? Now, God knew where Adam was. But Adam needed to realize, I'm hiding from my Creator. I'm hiding from the God who loved me, gave everything to me, and I'm hiding from him. Adam needed to think, where am I? He said to Moses, he said, what's that in your hand? Now, God knew what was in his hand. But there was Moses. He had a stick in his hand. It could have been a banana. I say that to you quite seriously. He said, what's in your hand? And Jonah had to realize, it's just a stick. And the Lord said, that's all you need. Amen? And so Moses said, I can't go because I can't talk. And God said, who made your mouth? That's a good question. I'll teach you what to say. He said to a man who was riding a donkey, he said, who are these men with you? Now, that's a great question. God has got great humor. God shows up and says, who are these guys with you? Because he's supposed to go alone. There are all kinds of conditions that God put on Balaam going and talking to Balak. But anyway, God asks Balaam, who are these men with you? And Balaam doesn't even think about the question to make him realize, you know what? I'm disobeying God. And then he asks Peter, he says, do you love me? And what does Peter say? You know I love you. You know what God said? I want you to know that you love me. I don't want you just to say it. I want you to know it in your heart. So God asked Jonah a very simple question. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. He says these words, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? One question. Does it help you to be angry, Jonah? Is anger good for you? Is it good at all that you're so angry, Jonah? Is it even right that you are so angry? Hey, Jonah, you want me to be angry and to just nuke Nineveh. But when I'm not angry, you think you can take over now. Jonah, are you doing good? Is this doing you good? Being so angry?
So let me ask you, is our anger really that bad? We're going to stop on that verse, and next week I'll pick up on this. But I just want to talk about anger now for a minute. God asks, are you doing good by being angry? Is that good for you? Let's go to Ecclesiastes. You're in Jonah. Go back to the left. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, be not hasty. Don't be so excited and impatient in thy spirit to be angry. Don't look forward to getting angry. For anger rests where? In the bosom of fools. In the very heart of... It's at rest there. It's at peace there. It lives in the bosom, in the life of a fool. Don't be so quick to get angry. Jonah is upset at the... You know, you find Jonah upset at the beginning of the book of Jonah and at the end, don't you? He's got anger in his life, doesn't he? And he's acting like a fool. James chapter 1, go way to the right. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Right after the book of Hebrews comes the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19 says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, speaking to Christians, oh, Christians don't have a problem with anger. You better believe it. We sure do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You're not going to help God out. Proverbs, back to the middle of your Bible. Chapter 22, Proverbs, Psalms, and then comes Proverbs. Chapter 22, verse 24. Psalm 22. I'm sorry, Psalm. Proverbs 22. Verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. What's he saying? Unless you start to become just like him. And get a snare to thy soul. That's next week. The trap that you're in. You've picked up anger from somebody else. Better watch it. Somebody else is going to pick it up from you. Jonah was wrong to be angry. He was angry both at God and at the Ninevites. Do you know it's only right to be angry at sins? It's right to be angry at wrongs, but not right to be angry at people. Come on, catch up with me now. You know, it's good when somebody steps in downtown Paris and starts shooting people. It's good for us to get upset and say what they did was wrong. But when anger turns into where all of a sudden all you think about is just, let's just go kill everybody, then it becomes wrong. You see, it's the people that all of a sudden we've turned our anger at. It's right to be angry when somebody breaks into a house and ties up an elderly couple and brutalizes them trying to find out where they've hidden some money somewhere. And I'm upset at that. That is wrong. But I sure hope that person or those persons get saved before they go straight to hell. Amen. You see, we just get angry. We don't care whether we're angry at the injustice or whether we're angry at people. Find out how often you are angry at what an injustice is versus you're just angry at people. Just people upset you. Jonah was wrong to be angry at the Ninevites and at God. By the way, just 30 seconds of him repenting would have restored that fellowship he used to have with God long ago when he used to be back at home. But Jonah, in his stubbornness, wouldn't humble himself. I only ask about you. Has your temper robbed you of the grace of God? It'll blind you to it. Do you ever find yourself bitter at God because He doesn't do what you think should be done? God, I prayed and You didn't help so-and-so. I prayed and You didn't give what I thought You should do. I did everything I thought You wanted me to do and You won't do anything I want. You never get that way. Be careful. Look at Luke chapter 5. Oh, don't. I'll save that for another thing. Some of you will say, anger is not always wrong. And you're right. You ought to be angry at the devil. Amen. If there's one person I can't hate, it's him. I hate the devil. We got a song, Oh, the Devil and Me. We do agree. Oh, the devil and me. We teach the kids this. We do agree. Oh, the devil and me. We do agree. I hate him and he hates me. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Amen. Amen. There are some things that you ought to hate. You ought to hate the sin that's around us. I hate the abuses. I hate the violence. I hate the drugs. I hate the political corruption. I hate the bank corruption. I hate the things that are going on today that just make life almost unbearable for so many people. I hate that. Now, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4. Go to the right, find Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye angry and blank, blank. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't sin while you're angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to who? As soon as you start down the road to anger, if you don't switch it off, the devil just walks in right behind you and just carries you further than you want to go. So there is a time to be angry and yet hold back from doing wrong. There's another good use for anger. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. Back to the middle of your Bible. Now you're going to get some good use of your finger muscles. Here's Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. Chapter 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. What's he saying? Next time a person comes along with a critical spirit around you trying to gossip about somebody, look at them like you're going to bite their head off. Amen. Amen. You want to tell me about somebody? You want to tell me about what you think they're doing wrong? You want to tell me about how you feel and how so-and-so has hurt you? I'm going to look at you like I'm about to knock you over. Amen. I won't do it, but I'll look like it. An angry countenance will shut somebody up who wants to have a critical spirit. They'll go, I'll go tell somebody else. Amen. Don't you talk to me about it, because I don't want that spirit. Amen. And it's wrong what you're doing if you're gossiping and if you're tail-bearing and if you're tearing people down. Amen. I got a few out of that. Mark chapter 3. Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 3. And verse 5. Start in verse 1. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. As he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, we don't know what happened to the hand. The hand may have been crushed in a farm incident or whatever, but the hand is all shriveled up. And they watched him. They watched Jesus, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him, that they might just find fault with him. He saith to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Jesus, he saith to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. You know, when God asks you a question, you better come up with a good answer. Instead of keeping your mouth shut, you better say, Verse 5, and when he looked around about them, on them with what? With anger.
The one person who never sinned, who never thought a sinful thought, never did a sinful thing, he got angry. Because they want to deny somebody a whole life. They want to be in control of religion when Jesus came to make us free. When they held their peace and they wouldn't answer, he got angry and being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. That's an example of righteous indignation. Amen. But still, in the vast majority of the Bible, anger is condemned, it is belittled, or it is discouraged. As a matter of fact, most of the time it is outright forbidden to just be angry. Maybe you'll take a few minutes as we go through these next verses. You'll let the Holy Spirit just anchor these and it'll scare you and go, I don't want to become like Jonah. Because Jonah is what you can become. Just like so bitter, so poisoned by your anger. I told you, I've met some people. I can tell you where they live. I can take you to the house. Where people have told me, I talking to them about the gospel. And I say, go call your husband. I haven't talked to him in 9 years. You live in the same house? I take his dinner to him every night. Poisoned. You say, I wouldn't do that. You don't know what anger will do. You don't do it. Anger does it. And you don't control it, folks. You've got to get rid of it. Let's go to Proverbs 29. We'll stay in the book of Proverbs now for a little while and we'll be through. Proverbs has a lot to say about the heart and especially about an angry heart. Proverbs chapter 29. In verse 8. Proverbs 29 verse 8 says, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men do what? I said 29. That's what I'm going to do next. Sorry. Is that the right one? The first one I want to do? Yeah. I'll just stay with that one. That's not up here. But wise men turn away wrath. What does it mean to turn away wrath? Think about you're driving on the road and there's some guardie ahead of you and some construction crews and they're working on a bridge and what does the guardie do? They turn you away. They say you're going to have to take a detour. I don't want to make a detour. I want to go over that road. And the guardie says, you're not going over that road. You'll die if you go over that road. You go, I think I'll take the side road. Well, when you get started on down that path of getting angry and you start to feel like you're just going to take everything and tear it down and get into a fight, you need to let the Holy Spirit divert you. And maybe you have to just take a long way around and not deal with that anger because that anger will destroy you. The wise man will turn away wrath. Wrath comes at you and you go, put it away. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, oh, I'm sorry, 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife, but a furious man boundeth in transgression. If you find yourself furious and you just stay furious, your life is going to be full of sin. Say, well, I'm right to be angry. I doubt it. You may have been right to be angry, but when you stayed angry, guess what? You're now going to be full of sin. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. Proverbs 29, verse 8. Did I read that? Yes, I already did. Wise men turn away wrath. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What's your fill in there? A soft answer will turn away wrath. You know, we think that wrath is kind of like a bull. I'm going to ride that bull. I'm just going to ride it all the way. I'm going to trample everybody down. You're going to die. The longest anybody's ever lasted on top of an unbroken bull is like 9.5 seconds, man. You think you can handle your wrath for about 3 days, 5 days, 2 years? You think you can handle it? Soft answer, turn away wrath. How about chapter 15, verse 18? Still in Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. I like that word slow. Slow down. Here's another one.
Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I know a lot of people, the guys up in the RU home, I mean, they're really big on weightlifting, and that's not a bad thing at all. Bodily exercise, that profiteth a little. And it's a good thing to exercise, but I see some guys in there working on their biceps. They envy me. And they really work on their endurance and their abilities to bench press and do awesome things with weights. But you know, stronger than them is the person who's able to control their anger. Because the Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, is in charge of his spirit, is mightier than he that can take a city. Somebody says, I've been working out, I'm just going to go and conquer a city. Somebody stronger than you is somebody who can say, I've conquered my anger. Amen. Now, you ladies are going, amen, amen, preacher. My husband, oh, he's got an anger problem. Hit him again, preacher! Take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 21. All the ladies go, oh, me! Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19. Wisest man who ever lived said this, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Ain't no control in her. Look at chapter 23 and verse 24. You say, I'd never get angry at anybody. You lie, you stinking liar. You women need to get right with God. You got an anger fiercer than you ever want to admit. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24 says this. Is it 23, 24? It's not 23, 24. Nope. Where am I missing it? Look at my cross reference. I wrote some 21, 19. Well, anyway, it says this. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a White House. I mean, in comes your woman. You are going to find a corner somewhere, man. See, my wife's never fought me. Yeah, because you let her win, amen. Even women can have a temper. Even women can have a temper. Don't you say, well, my kids have a problem. We all got a problem with anger. Jonah is just used by God to show us just how poisoned we can become. So let's obey Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians and we'll wrap up here. Two more scriptures and we're done. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor is loudness when you're yelling, and evil speaking, when you speak evil of somebody, let it be put away from you along with all malice. Malice is what you think about when you're upset. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving. Why would I have to forgive somebody? Because they've hurt you. Because they've been your enemy. Because they've taken advantage of you. Because they didn't care about you. Because they said things about you that hurt your reputation. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, this is what we're like. This is what we're supposed to be like. Here's your conclusion. Go to Luke chapter 5 and we're through. Luke chapter 5. While you're finding that, let me just say Jonah was furious. You ever been that way? Oh yeah, I got one honest woman. Jonah was not just a little tiffed. He was furious. And not just angry at the world, not angry at life only. He's angry at God. He didn't like somebody who didn't deserve it getting away with murder. Why? Has God ever made you angry? Maybe boxed you in,
told you to do something you would not ever do, and yet he kept pushing you and kept pushing you. I know how it feels. Maybe God's trying to make you into a better man, a better woman, and you like who you are already. I've worked all my life on this identity. I'm not exchanging it for anything. You wanted to quit on God. I know a lot of folks like that. When God doesn't do things their way, when church isn't the way they want it, when the preacher doesn't preach the way they want, when the music's not the way they want, when the Bible's not easy to understand, when nobody calls them, when nobody checks on them, when nobody seems to care about them, they quit. Yeah, I know. Jonah's just like that. Wanted to quit on God. God's question applied to him in that day and applies to us just as much. Doest thou well to be angry? Wouldn't it be much better to repent ourselves, just like the Ninevites did, and repent of our own sinful attitude towards our problems until the will of God? Wouldn't it be much better to rejoice at God's kindness that He constantly pours out on us? I mean, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His mercies are new every day. Great is thy faithfulness. Wouldn't it be much better to rejoice at God's kindness being offered to wicked people and letting them get saved? Look at Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 29. Luke chapter 5 and verse 29. Levi, this is Matthew's other name, Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of... Now, a publican was a tax collector. He worked for the foreign government. It's like be like an Irishman working for the British collecting taxes from you. Nobody liked him. But this house was full of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I wonder if there are any sinners in here this morning. See, church isn't filled with saints. Church is not filled with practically perfect people. It's filled with publicans and sinners. You know, the only good thing about my life is that Jesus loved me. I didn't have anything good to earn His love. He just loved me. And He loves you. As filthy as your mind is, as filthy as your mouth is, as wicked as you have lived, as rebellious as you have lived, He loves you. God so loved the world. You say, "God's unfair." You better thank God He's unfair. Because if He was fair, none of us would make it. God is gracious. And sometimes He's not gracious to you and lets sort of things just fall apart in your life. But He knows what He's doing. If you'll trust Him, if you'll humble yourself, He'll fix it. He'll bless you, probably never with money. But He'll bless you with a family. He'll bless you with a loving husband, a loving wife. He'll bless your home. He'll bless your heart. Instead of anger resting in your heart, peace will rest in your heart. Amen. Are you really doing that good just to be angry? You can live in anger at your ex and at your Y. That was a joke. You can be in anger at the government and how they're not meeting your needs. And you can be angry at your neighbor. You can be angry at everybody around you. It's not doing you any good at all. You know who died under the wrath of Almighty God? It was Jesus Christ. When God poured out the wrath that should be on Craig Ledbetter, He poured it out on His Son, Jesus Christ. How can I be angry anymore? How do I pick up anger and say, I'm going to show Him what for? God poured out His wrath on that one perfect man, so He could forgive an unworthy Ninevite like me. Amen. The only way, however, if you're going to get spared from the wrath of God, see, that cross proves that God must just judge sin. If you don't let Him take your place, you're going to take it. And when you stand before God, you've got no hope. You'll go to hell and there'll be no coming out. There is a hell. But there's a way to escape. And that way is named Jesus Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to
repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Say, well, what if I just started coming to this church? Coming to church won't fix you. What if I started reading the Bible? That's a good start, but you're going to have to believe it. And what does it say? What does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You sick and tired of who you are and how angry you stay and how frustrated life is? God does not promise to fix all of the people that hurt you, but He promises to fix you. Would you let Him do that this morning? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Is there anyone willing to give up your wicked lifestyle and say, you know what, I'm tired of it because it just makes me angry. It just makes me frustrated that I am the way I am. You know what you need to repent of? Who you are. There's no one sin that's going to send you to hell. You know what will send you to hell? Your stubbornness. Your fight with God. Stop fighting it. Start trusting Him. Father, I ask that You would speak to hearts this morning and You'd bless Your people with a desire to see the poison that our anger is doing to us. And we see it in the life of a man who is experiencing the goodness, the kindness of God. And he was surrounded by it going on all around him. Everybody else was getting right with God except him. It'd be an awful thing to live in a Christian home, watch your wife get saved, your kids get saved, maybe watch your husband get saved or your mom get saved, and you just sit there and stew in your anger and your bitterness and your pride against the only God that can save. Heavenly Father, I pray that it wakes us up. And we realize Jesus died for everyone in this room and everyone that's not in this room. But whether they go to church or they don't, if they don't get saved, they're lost. That ought to break our heart. Instead of us wishing and wanting for people to deserve hell, I'd like to save them from it. I'd like to give my life, sacrifice my life, be able to preach, witness, have compassion, care, like You do. Instead of getting upset and angry and fight, and tear at people and devour them. So I pray, God, You'd make us determined to let these things go and stop letting them poison our lives. Stop the anger and the wrath and the bitterness and the evil speaking, the clamor. And start being kind. Because You're kind. You're our example. So Lord, I pray for the people in this room. Whatever their need, especially the lost, that somebody would say, I want to be saved. I've waited too long. I've fought too hard against You. I'm willing to stop today. Today is my day of salvation. I believe and I will follow on the Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed that 35 years ago. I've never looked back. Pray somebody else prays it too. In Jesus' name, amen.